right. Good morning, good afternoon, and good day to our Dad Timeout Show listeners around the world. Welcome to the Dad Timeout Show. We're just four dads with 12 kids between us, and we all, oddly enough or not, work in the entertainment industry. It's a place to put your feet up or down, or if you're exercising or driving or skateboarding or kite surfing or hiking or moonwalking or needlepointing, or you're in a pumpkin patch, or you're scrapbooking, gardening, refereeing, food shopping, or anything like that, take a few seconds, relax, enjoy the show. If you could like us, subscribe, or leave a review, we'd be forever grateful. And please follow us on the gram, Twitter, X, and Facebook. In tonight's show, of course, the dads kick off with a little catch-up, a little September chatter, and a little feeling about the month overall. Then they'll have their take on parent tweets of the week about the love-hate relationships people have with pumpkin spice. And then in Smart Articles by Smart People, the dads will discuss an article called The Importance of the Family Meal by the website Parents. This one's based on science. Yeah, science. And also note, we will fire up a little post-morning text argument about the best pizza the guys have ever had. And then finally, they'll wrap up with a quiz on pumpkins, a couple this or that's, and then finally, things that make them smile. Speaking of things that make me smile, I am joined by the one and the only.
Lola.
Lola has entered the fourth grade this week. How's it going so far?
Amazing.
It's amazing? All right, now you brought in our pumpkin-tacular joke of the evening?
Yes.
Okay, let her up.
What do you get when you drop a pumpkin?
Well, that's quite a short question. What do you get when you drop a pumpkin?
Squash.
Squash, of course. All right, I'll let you get back in the house. The guys are coming around the corner in just a second. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Dad Timeout Show. Thank you, fourth grader.
Gathered together from the cosmic reaches of the universe, here in this great hall of justice, are the most powerful forces of good ever assembled, dedicated to truth, justice, and peace for all mankind.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Dad Timeout Show.
All right, the guys have come around the corner. It is the Dad Timeout Show. Do we have to shorten the name? When we are three,
we're just
no. We still get a dad time out.
Oh, we're dad time.
Can we call ourselves the tripod?
We can.
Ooh, oh, that's an image. I don't like that. I mean, all right. Let's go around the room. We are in California, Northern California, to be exact. The skies are beautiful tonight. Last evening, a little interesting wildfire smoke coming down from the top of California down here. The air quality, AQ, as we call it, was not the best.
The moon, though.
The moon was.
Oh, yeah. See the moon.
Super moon.
Holy
moon. Super moon.
Beautiful.
Was
mind-boggling.
Phenomenal. My wife and youngest daughter went out at like 10:30 and just hung out and watched the moon, which is pretty awesome sauce, if you know what I'm saying. But the temperature is nice. It is the, well, and when we release this, it'll already be in September, but we are on the precipice of the greatest day of the year.
What?
In the MK world.
September 1st. Which is the launching of Pumpkin Spice.
Oh, right.
It's the launching of... So, can I tell you about
my
morning?
What's Spice Girl. Yeah, she's the Spice Girl. Pumpkin Spice.
So, here's my plan. Listeners, if you know or don't know, I am a big fan of all things fall, Pumpkin Spice, Tennessee football, 49er football. Decorations, autumnal floral things on
that.
The table.
The
I've got the candles going. Like, I mean, we are very decked out tonight. So tomorrow, I have held off on everything pumpkin until tomorrow. And on tomorrow morning, so there's a couple things going on. No, well, we may go to get a pumpkin also. I did go to TJ's this morning.
No, but it's like pumpkin megalodon.
Yes. Yeah. So we'd have to take our one car to get service, so it kind of derailed my momentum a little bit. But my wife and I, so tomorrow, I turn on the Sirius radio. Ooh. So I've let my subscription lapse, and I have been too cheap to renew it until September 1st because they have college football.
Yeah, yes.
And let me tell you this little trick, guys. So they'll give you an offer to renew. So I'm only going to pay $6 a month for next year, and then I'm committed for like the next 20. But next year's going to be a good year for the family. So my wife
Banner
and I,
year savings.
It's like we're going to get pumpkin spice lattes, and we're going to sit in the driveway as Sirius satellite clicks on. We're going to clink our pumpkin spicers, and then I'm off on my day.
Awesome.
That's all happening tomorrow.
Man.
Yes, it's very, very exciting. Speaking of that, we got a lot to talk about on the show. A little Pumpkin Palooza going on.
Pumpkin Palooza.
Harb's a big pumpkin guy. We're going to ask actually some good pumpkin trivia down the stretch. We're going to go from pumpkins to pizza and back around to pumpkins. Yeah, it's going to be a wild show. First of all, let me just get this out of the way. It's fall, y'all. So you remember how geeked up I was about Taylor Swift?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I've got another artist that I am losing my mind over. Now, I have been listening, but I have not seen the artist until dear friends of ours said, hey, we have two tickets to this.
Uh-oh.
And the young lady that invited us had it marked on her calendar for like 6 months. And I'm like, okay. So his name's Zach Bryan.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course, right? He really became famous. His music is songwriting brilliant. It's just, that's what we're listening to in the background right now. He did a show at Red Rocks where it snowed. And it's one of the only shows that it really snowed. And he just plowed through it. And it was so amazing and beautiful. And that's where I saw him for the first time, which hooked me into his music. And then I'm like, oh, my gosh, just now I know my friends are all geeking out. I've just got so much going on. I can't check out every new artist. All right. But we saw this guy and this band and he calls them the boys. And then the opening act in the round in the Oakland Arena of all places.
Oh, wow.
He literally blew the roof off the place. I had never seen a crowd. I mean, I just went to Swizzle. I had never seen a crowd that electric that he could stop at any point during the entire concert and the crowd just sings as loud as they can.
Wow.
And the way he did it, he hung these barn lights to the rafters of the thing. And then he would play a quarter of a song on one mic. And then his entire band would walk around, play the next quarter of the song on this. So every side kept getting treated all night. And you just wondered what verse this guy. Anyways, his new album just came out and his pre-sale just went on. And I was part of that group.
Seeing a group in the round is really interesting. Back in the day, San Carlos had a place called Circle Star Theater.
Oh, yeah.
And so there would be, it would be a rotating stage. And then I saw George Strait in Sacramento, and he was in the round, but his stage rotated as well.
Yeah.
And there's something really special about being able to see front and center. I mean, because, you know, when you're buying concert
tickets. Metallica's doing it now. They've got, like, the round, and then they do the snake pit.
Yeah.
Which is the inner circle of the fans. I mean, in the round's nothing new. But, yes.
It's a beautiful concept.
If you ever have an opportunity, you know an artist stage setup's going to be in the round, get those floor tickets. Even when we went and saw U2, we got on the floor and we're like, GA, we're old. This is going to be a long night. But as soon as like the band came out and then people were like, they're going to play this song here. And then everybody would kind of morph around the round.
Oh, yeah.
But this guy in his 20s and he is just, I listened to his interview on Joe Rogan. All my friends said, you've got to listen to him on Joe Rogan. And he's the salt of the earth from Oklahoma, just appreciates every moment. He's an ex-Navy guy, and his dad was in the Navy, and his dad comes out on stage and sings with him. Anyway, I'm rambling. Zach Bryan, thank you. Thank you for an amazing night. And we're going to hopefully see him in Mile High Stadium in Denver.
Oh, nice.
So that's next July. Speaking of great concerts, guess what other news broke today? But wait.
Uh-oh.
The Taylor Swift movie.
Oh, yes, I heard
is
that.
Is coming to theaters.
Yes.
With the current tour.
Yes.
You know, T-Swizzle's in Mexico City right now. I think she's gone now. She had 4 or 5 nights down in Mexico City. And then as I opened up the televisions this morning, lo and behold, Swizzle was everywhere. Why? Wow. Because
the movie.
And guess how much tickets are? Wait for it. 1989
oh,
for adults and 1313 for kids.
Yeah. Nice.
Oh, and she's encouraging people to glam out to the era.
Yeah.
And I cannot wait. I cannot wait.
And break out the disco jacket.
Yes. Yes. Other than that, sorry for the long intro, listeners. We're short-manded tonight. Ben is, I think he's got a legitimate excuse tonight. It's not man softball.
It's both.
Oh, it's both.
Softball, it's man's softball and back to school night. Yes.
He'll try header. And combine both and wear the goofy clothes to school. Oh, no man. Doubt in my mind.
With the stirrups and the old timey baseball shoes.
Probably have a pass blue ribbon in his back pocket just
and
for
chew.
Yeah, you know.
And chew.
One final thing. I know this is weird, but I wanted to talk about it. I could talk about it and things that bring me joy and gratitude, but I've been cleaning my kids' rooms this week. I don't know about you guys. I love it. Especially after what you sent me today that had me weeping at like 9 o'clock in the morning.
Sorry.
In a Trader Joe's parking lot. I'm like, oh my gosh, I've only got like 30 Super Bowls left according to this chart.
Yeah.
How many days?
We'll talk about that.
That was heavy.
We'll talk about that. But I have been cleaning my oldest daughter's room, and to me, it's like I feel like it's a makeover show. And I try and get it all done in one day for the most part. But when they come home, because it's been an accumulation for a while, you know what I'm saying? Like I had the things with the pinchers and behind the bed and pulling stuff out.
Yeah, yeah.
But when they come home and it's vacuumed and the wind is blowing through and it smells nice and they just their beds are made.
Dude.
I don't know. It just brings me joy. Nice. I don't complain about it.
That's like a cruise ship or something. You come home, there's a mint on the pillow.
Animals. Yeah, exactly. I was thinking of towel animals.
Oh, dual towel animals? Yeah. No.
That's nice.
We don't. Dolphin. Well, that's a whole other story because we have two towels right now and I don't know where they are.
Oh, no.
One of those people in there, those humans, is hoarding towels. Unless it's I'm, like there's a washer I don't know about, but one of
the towel.
Yeah. So, but nice anyway, yeah. Really nice. Room cleaning. So I wrote this article once how I actually enjoyed folding my kids' laundry and I got a lot of slack for it. And I'm like, but they're only going to be, my point was, they're only going to be three once, right?
Yeah,
they're only
going
to be two. You're only going to be folding these tiny little clothes one round.
No, it goes quicker than you know.
So put on some support shoes.
Yeah.
Put on a show. Put on some music. Hell, drink wine if you have to. But, like, enjoy the moments, right? If we hadn't learned anything from your sad charts today.
Well, once they're, like,
thanks,
you know, a certain age, they don't want you to do their laundry, and you don't want to go in their room. And
really?
They,
what age is that? Because my 17-year-old still has me doing his laundry.
Oh, wow, really? Maybe it's a girl thing, or I don't know, but that's the teenage years. Then they're sort of like a
my 13-year-old is starting to want to do her own laundry.
I'll imagine that, yeah.
I'm pretty good at it, though. They don't want to, like, lose that.
I kind of get hands off, but I'm kind of aware of where I can go, and I don't look through stuff.
There's boundaries.
I will throw away banana peels
and
cups that have been dead for 2 months, and you know, and then I just go buy new ones and stuff like that. But so anyway, quick shout outs. Then we're gonna move on. By the way, we're gonna have these guys over. They're super cool. Their podcast is great. If we do our audience one next time, the Batty Daddy podcast. They're local Bay Area. They're super funny, and they're really good guys. So they're going to be coming over. Also, some new followees, or friends that have commented. I really like this one. Kindness is cool. Follow those guys. Michelle Eichard, a friend of the show, was on the Today Show the other day. So congrats to Michelle Eichard. That's awesome sauce. Melissa Emanuelson is who he interviewed, which is still getting a lot of hits on. She had a Substack called The Good Game. This American Dad is in the house. Zach Bryant saw one of our things, but he didn't respond. But follow him anyway because he's amazing. And then, some other dads have offered to have us on the show, all that good stuff. So coming up next, tweets of the week, the pros and cons and yings and yangs of pumpkins and pumpkin spice. Mm.
Time now for the tweets of the week. Tweet.
All right, this is coming in hot off the press. It's pumpkin time.
Yeah.
Stop. Pumpkin time.
That's right.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh no!
I saw a building the other day. So listeners, we're in like we're all four of us come from the same immediate area, but like we're all from different areas. But Oakland is very close to all of us. And I drove by a restaurant the other day that literally had every Oakland icon on spray painted on the wall. It was just that little buzz of pride. And I'm talking Too Short,
yeah,
Steph Curry,
yeah,
MC Hammer, Tupac, like, and the list goes on and on. Raleigh Fingers, you know, even though he may not have been from Oakland, he played obviously for the A's.
Yeah.
And it was just a really cool mural. So anyway, back to pumpkins and pizza. This is from at Kate Would Have It. If you think I won't sweat my way through this pumpkin spice latte, you underestimate my dedication. I think the joke here, guys, laughter, whenever you want. Hold on, let me cue you in. Hey, so, is that it's it was 96 degrees out yesterday, and pumpkin spice lattes have been on the loose for a week. I wait, you know, I respectfully wait till September 1st to get mine in.
When you saw that meme,
like
that I said
most humans, yes.
The storm doesn't hit until September 1st at least.
Yeah, it's a law in some states. Police pull you over, like, you gotta have one in the cup holder.
Excuse me, is that pumpkin spice?
Well, I don't know what state that would you just mimic, many, but
that's many. Racist.
Yeah.
What?
At adult mom. I don't care that it's September. If you talk to me about pumpkin spice before the forecast has temps under 80, I will kick you in the throat.
Oh, see?
Wow.
Adult mom coming in with a hot take.
That's aggressive.
We don't condone violence, adult mom. Well, but
can you get one iced?
You can. I mean, but like, shouldn't your inaugural one be like the straight up?
Oh, totally. No, it needs to be hot.
Yeah.
But if it's 98 degrees outside and you need to have those spices.
You know? You need to. Well,
I'm saying.
Need them spices.
My nuns used to tell me when I was a kid and coming in off the playground, if you just sit still, you'll cool off. So have that pumpkin spice.
Seven and like,
suck on this pebble.
Yeah. All right. So moving on from the violence of adult mom to at wine mummy. Oh, she got a good Twitter handle. Everyone knows that people who like pumpkin spice anything are the same people and psychos who enjoy eating black licorice.
Yeah, see?
Do you guys
both like black licorice?
I do not like black licorice.
Dude, black licorice is awful.
Yeah,
it's the worst.
Yeah. It is.
Okay. And you know,
I'm not a psycho. And
I'm not really a pumpkin spice person.
You know what else I don't like? White jelly beans.
You don't
like old school white jelly beans, not jelly belly, coconut. Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Black licorice is nasty.
Yeah, it's wrong.
I don't like wine mummy categorizing those together.
That's right.
All right. We're moving on for you, wine mummy. This is a good one, too. Housewife of Hell says, at Housewife of Hell.
Where are you getting these?
I know. This is the best handles ever.
Sure, it's hot now, but any day now, that coworker in the next cubicle will be switching the Glade plug-in from Beach Dream to Pumpkin Spice.
Jeez. You know, that's a really hard smell when your house is warm, like your heater kicks on and you got too much of that pumpkin spice. Yeah. It can be a little bit overwhelming.
It's a little overwhelming smell.
You got to be thoughtful about the use of pumpkin spice.
Here's what I say.
Thoughtful.
There are levels of... Thoughtful. Pumpkinology, right? There's like, you can go to Target and get those like Yankee Candle level pumpkin ones, right? And those things, first of all, they're probably deadly with that black like death flame they put in. Not a sponsor, probably never. But I think if you do it delicately. Now, you remember last year I went on the four Target hunt for those candles. I went early this year and got them ahead of time. I bought five of them. I literally cleared the shelf.
That's awesome.
These moms are looking at me in my Taylor Swift hoodie like, what are you doing?
Stop taking the pumpkin spice and hoard it.
I don't think that's how moms talk either, Mark. But,
okay, you know. Maybe. Pushing it there. You never know. I'll be here all night.
All right, so this one's from at Curly Comedy. Do your coworkers do Glade plugins?
No, we're not allowed. Like, no perfumes, no smells.
Really? No cologne? I could never work there.
No lotion?
No lotion.
I put cologne on in the morning to pick up the kids, and lotion, too.
People will complain.
Do the kids like your cologne?
I told you we're from Philly. Like, pick up the kids. Crucifixes and cologne. At Curly Comedy says, nothing I enjoy more in the fall than squirting some pumpkin spice mustard on a pumpkin spice hot dog while I sip on a pumpkin spice grape soda.
Oh, my gosh. That's sarcasm, buddy.
That's Curly Comedy coming in.
Come on, man.
That's all right. We're going to move on, Curly Comedy. Come on, man. No offense. We'll give Curly Comedy some applause. All right, so this is from @TragicallyAllie here. Play on words there, or letters. Drank so much pumpkin spice latte that I could see into a parallel autumn universe vibrating on a wavelength right next to our own. It's full of dancing skeletons and Ugg boots and pies cooling in windowsills.
Oh,
she speaks of a place that I would like to go.
I think that's lovely.
Gosh. Really? See, both of you guys. That's kind of psycho.
See me. Let me tell you something, California guy. I grew up with a change of seasons.
Yeah, maybe that's it.
And where I grew up, when those leaves change and you hit that country road and you're getting the apple cider from the farm.
Oh, my goodness.
Brings back glorious memories.
Is that real or TV show?
It's true.
But I mean, okay, so what's my excuse? I was born and raised here in the Bay.
I don't know. You have that weird obsession.
My people are from Minnesota, so maybe that's what it's about. I don't know.
You're just weird.
Okay, good. Thanks.
Okay, this one is from, one of our favorites. Actually, a guest on the show.
Simon.
At Exploding Unicorn.
Hey, now.
Yes.
That's pretty good. What is it? Wife. A pumpkin spice latte. Me. Falls to my knees because I've become everything I hate. See, but at least Robert gets it. He gets the spice love.
I guess so.
He does get the spice love.
That's weird.
All right, coming up next, smart articles by smart people that we've gotten all hungrified talking about pumpkins, because that's the ultimate meal is a pumpkin,
right?
Just cut it in half and start mowing it down.
Eat that whole pumpkin that one time.
It's the benefit of family meals coming up next.
Articles by smart people.
All right, here we go. It is time for smart articles by smart people.
Hooray!
7 science-based benefits of eating together as a family by Erica Jackson Curran. Mm-hmm. Updated this year. We've talked about this a little bit on the show in the past. I don't think we've done an episode on it, but I know we've talked about it. I'm just going to dive right in. Number one, a study in JAMA Network Open found that eating meals with family members is associated with a better diet overall, especially among adolescents. Teens who ate with family were more likely to consume more fruits and vegetables and less fast food and sugary beverages. Additionally, you don't need to be the perfect happy family for these benefits to apply. The study found that kids were able to build healthier habits regardless of how functional the family was. How do you guys do with family dinners? Do you do them?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the one thing that we prioritize is, like, you know, we all have to come together as a family as much as possible and, you know, no phones and no screens, headphones out, no AirPods or whatever. And we say grace, you know, and it's like, you know, let's give thanks, let's talk about our day as much as possible. So, like, it's the one thing I feel like, okay, we check the box on that one.
We do, too. And I think it's, you know, we're big on dinner. But this is also saying any meal you can have an opportunity to eat together, do it. And separate rooms, times, places, because we get it. Like, the reality of it is, especially with kids and activities, you're running crazy schedules. Like, my oldest is getting home at 7:30 now from show rehearsals. And
it's hard.
But we all try and the best we can. And I'd say throughout the entire year, we're about 80 to 85%.
Yeah,
on eating together every night, and to the point where, like, we will definitely miss somebody when they're not there. Yeah. And it might be me for travel, or, you know, one of the kids has something where they're away. But
yeah, we have the same situation. Dinners are, like, super important. 7 nights a week, there's dinner on the table, and unless you have
7 nights a week,
yeah,
he's betting 1,000 over here.
Wow. No, I'm not betting 1,000. There's times when you've got, there's sound effects, but There's times when
I gave you a guitar like lead in.
Did you? I love it. Yeah. You know, every now and then my 17-year-old has to work, but otherwise, yeah. I mean, dinner at the table, family prayer, all that stuff is important. Breakfasts are harder because of the staggered departure
times.
There's
no such thing in my house. There's
breakfast?
No. No. First of all, my oldest doesn't eat breakfast. I'm just being honest. My oldest doesn't eat breakfast. My youngest, you could frisbee a waffle at her and she'll just mow it down. And the same with the older. He likes to go write and check his notes before he goes to school. So our resident computer guy will quietly eat for 10 minutes in his room. But we run pretty lean in the morning. Like, they get up and go. We don't have a lot of lag time from soup to nuts. But lunch, obviously, we're not around together, but then dinners are.
Dinner's like homing pigeon. I think it's important. Good checkpoint.
Now, on the weekends, a different story. Or holidays. We will definitely do, obviously, breakfast. But weekends, and then weekends, we like to goof off, too. Like, this weekend, by the way. By the way, fun fact. Have you seen the show The Chef?
Yes.
So good, right? I made the omelet for my youngest kid.
Ah.
But I didn't use Borzen. So for listeners, there's a show on, is it Hulu? Called The Chef. It's so good. So good. And we were all calling each other chef around. The kids can't watch because that's too many F-bombs. But I keep calling them chef, like whenever they, Dad, where's the toilet paper? I'm like, yes, chef.
Yes, chef.
get it yourself, chef. But yeah, you take an omelet, you wrap Borzen around it, and then you crush potato chips lightly. Ooh. And you rub it down with butter.
Now we're talking.
It's ridiculous. Anyway, that's a Saturday surprise.
Nice. I'm coming over.
But that's the only time we do breakfast. Other than that, it's really just grab and go. Do you do breakfast?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
With the whole family?
I mean, it's usually I'm running around, so we have staggered schedules now. And then my youngest daughter's doing...
It's very nice.
Crazy zero period, which throws a wrench in the works. Like go to school early. What's wrong with this kid?
My daughter has a zero period and then a period of before that.
Like what?
She's in cross country, and so they have to be there before zero. It's like that's like sub zero.
Some little house on the prairie. Action,
my kid just she was going to do cheerleading, sub-zero. And then she found out they rehearse at 7 a.m. and she's like, "No, yeah, I'm going to pass on that one, Dad." I'm like, "Call like
wise beyond her years."
Yeah. Right? All right. So number two. And this is obviously based on science, which is nice, versus hearsay, versus Jim from over the fence.
Speculation.
Eating together can help prevent mental disorders. According to a 2015 review by a group of Canadian researchers, frequent family dinners can prevent issues with disorders, alcohol, substance use, violent behavior, depression, suicidal thoughts, and adolescence. Like, I didn't know that when we started that. So it was like, all this is like kind of happy news. But you see why.
Well, if you're conversing and you're having conversations and you're having family time, as long as it's not agitated and visceral, then you're having a chance. I mean, you know, that's the whole goal. The goal is get people talking about their day, and then you have that bond and that closeness that you wouldn't have otherwise.
So you ever fight at dinner?
I mean, I honestly feel like
try not to.
I'm adding to my family's stress during dinner time. I mean, like I'm trying not to. I mean, the intention is right, but like I think I just sort of revert to my dad or something when like.
You should do this better.
Well, like, he would come home from work, and he would, like, at dinner time, he would, like, you know, be smoking a Pall Mall and reading a Korean newspaper, and that meant, like, don't talk. Don't even clink your fork on the plate, you know? You better be quiet. And so, like, that's kind of how, like, you know, when the kids are like, how was your day? I'm like, busy, stressful. And then I'm eating the
gluten-free
pasta or whatever, you know?
My grandpa was like that. You feared making the wrong move if you were. My grandpa was listening to the news on the radio, literally like a cigarette on the table to the right.
You know,
yeah, we're like, okay.
I had a grandpa that was dangerous at dinner.
Like, I'm not that bad, but careful. You know what I mean,
this is not my wife's father, by the way. Rest in peace. But this isn't my mother's father we're speaking of. But he was an amazing man in different ways.
God rest his soul.
But yeah, it makes sense though. Yes, to talk Mark's point about agitation, very rarely.
Yeah.
So we have a mirror directly across from where my son sits, and he's always checking himself in the mirror. And that drives me crazy sometimes. He's always like the hair. He's a teen. Like, he's a total teen right now.
How does it look when I eat my salad like this?
Literally. He'll look like, yeah.
You should draw a little mustache on the mirror.
So right? Like, I've tried to think of creative things to do. I'll get there. So if you combine that with another, like, so about 2 months ago, we have a Lazy Susan. And it had like a big salad thing, salad tong sticking off. And my wife whipped it around it, knocked her drink over, and we all laughed. Oh, and we're like, oh, it's just blah, blah, blah. It's the Lazy Susan. She's like, you did. So anyway, it happened to me.
Uh-oh.
And this was combined with my son doing the whole Rico Suave moves. Uh-oh.
Perfect storm. So,
but that's like the... That's the nth degree of art.
But you know what? Fighting. Even those moments are comedy.
Now it's a great story.
No, that's the point. The point is that that's you don't get that unless you have family dinners. Yeah, you don't get exactly. That kind of comedy unless you, and then getting everybody together to have common conversations, I think, helps everybody empathize about everybody at the table. So everybody has a story. Everybody's got a day, and then it's hard to have. I mean, you still could have mental illness with that, but you generally those kind of conversations bring you towards love and light and family happiness kind of stuff.
Well, and then another survey that went out in 2022 said found 91% of parents reported that their families were significantly less stressed when families eat meals together regularly. And again, the meal does not have to be dinner. But yeah, I do. I think it's the communication. It's the how was your day. It's like sincerely listening to people instead of drive-by conversations that happen all day, or you know, post-school or post-sport conversations in the car, or you know. But it's a and then food obviously brings people together. I'm gonna rabbit hole again. I've started watching the Blue Zones show on Netflix, and food. Blue Zones are places in the world that have the most concentrated amount of centenarians, 100-year-olds. Sardinia, Okinawa. I think they're going to Norway next. And this guy goes and interviews like the whole village, and then he gives the stats of what they do to reach that age.
Ooh. Yeah.
But food's very central to a lot of the longevity.
I'm going to have to pick your brain about what to watch.
Good food, not drive by Chick-fil-A in the morning.
No Whopper Juniors.
But everybody needs it now and again.
Yeah.
Eating together, number three, eating together may prevent adulthood weight struggles. A 2015 study, it's 8 years old now, but it found direct correlation between the frequency of shared family meals in adolescence and reduced odds of weight issues 10 years later, especially among teens. This study concluded that families should attempt to gather, blah, 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 blah. But yeah, another benefit is that eating together may prevent adulthood weight struggles. Now, like, and we're in the knowledge zone now. My buddy and I were talking about this about a month ago. Because, you know, obviously I look like the Michelin man. But the credo in my house used to be clear your plate, clean your plate. You got to clean your plate. Like, clean your plate, clean your plate, clean. Now it's just like, eat till you're satiated and get out of there, right? Like, so I think that's changed a lot over the years where that mentality is not to do that because we know that it's not really that great. Number four, eating together can improve kids' self-esteem. Security provided by regularly breaking bread as a family can help children feel more confident in themselves, according to Stanford Medicine Children's Health. By encouraging your kids to talk about their day, we just kind of said this, you're communicating that you value and respect who they are. They should be allowed to choose their own seats and encouraged to assist with chores associated with dinner time, whether setting, serving, or cleaning. I think we've talked about this.
Yeah.
Now, we do have kind of like, we've got our favorite spots. We've just gotten used to the same spot over the years. If they want to switch, I don't care. Well, you know what? Maybe I should get them away from the mirror.
Yeah,
right.
There you go. Sit in front of the mirror.
We
see
have
what it's like.
We have assigned seats. I mean, I was just going to say assigned. We all
they're
sit
not
the
assigned.
Same, we sit in the same places most of the time. The
but we all contribute too. Like my oldest daughter will make the salad, or sometimes she'll cook the whole meal. But like she usually makes the salad. The boys, the younger ones, will always clear, or you know, set up the empty the dishwasher. Anyway, post dinner stuff.
Yeah.
Well, helping out in the kitchen, like, my kids both like to, you know, like make the meal and then that sense of pride that they made it. Sure. And, you know, you're eating this and you're like, regardless of how it comes out, you're like, oh, yummy.
My 8-year old loves the Chop Wizard. We have a Chop Wizard for chopping vegetables.
Got a little chopper?
We got a wizard. Man, those are awesome.
The ninja ones?
No, anyway.
You know, whenever you say wizard, Mark, it just reminds me.
You know, there's like
sound time in another era.
No, but he loves chopping, so I'll like get all. And he's sous chefing over there for me, and it's and then during dinner, that whole pride of I help make this, and I help make that.
It is great, you know, and I love seeing that as a parent. Whenever a child comes out, whether it's cookies or cereal,
your kids are.
Mix or
knocking it out with the baked goods.
Kiki, she's pretty solid in that department. Yeah. But the other two are right along churning and burning now.
Yeah.
And it's just really fun because, like, you know, it's like, what do you think? You know, or they make you breakfast, which is the cutest thing ever. And then sometimes they'll all pull together and make a full dinner, but Kira will literally create a meal. Oh, he's doing it in the mirror. Number 5 and 6 together and 7. And then we're going to move on to the great debate.
Yeah.
5, eating together can improve communication skills. A Canadian study followed a group of children from infancy through childhood and found the participants whose families had positive meal experiences at age 6 showed a range of positive benefits by age 10.
Came from the Science Daily interview.
Yeah. Okay, here's an interesting one I didn't think about. Eating together may help kids with bullying. Based on a survey of 19,000 students, found clear associations between cyberbullying and anxiety, depression, and substance misuse. As many as 1 in 5 young people experiencing some form of cyberbullying, that's a major problem. However, teens who ate dinner with their families, ideally 4 or more times a week, reported fewer problems as a result of being bullied. The study authors note that the regular family contact facilitates more parental guidance and open communication between kids and their parents.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
You got to have FaceTime to communicate.
Getting a good sunset?
Also, it's beautiful.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, I'm getting a good one back here, too.
But I'm thinking, just knowing that at least you're available and you're in their corner, that you have, they have a resource, right? No matter how, it's tough for, I think, kids to open up for all these things and if come to you if they're being bullied. But
and if you're there, you can see the look on their face.
Right.
You should, by then, know that as a parent, hey, they're struggling with something.
I've always fantasized about I'll beat up that bully and then confronting the kid at school.
I always fantasize about what I could retaliate with. And then I'm like, no, I can't.
Pull up on him.
Yeah. Like that great Bobby. Scene in This Is 40.
Yeah.
Where Leslie Mann. Tom Petty.
I'm crying.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
The outtakes from when Melissa McCarthy went into the office, principal's office, is one of the funniest things I've ever watched. All right. I digress. 7, eating together can supplement family therapy. All right. Good finale here.
Yeah.
For families who are undergoing therapy, For families who are undergoing therapy together, their shared dinner habits can provide valuable insights into their dynamics to therapists. In addition, families can be encouraged to take lessons learned during therapy to the dinner table, experimenting with new roles and communication patterns. Totally. So, we're not quite there, but I can see that actively happen. But I read enough, right? So I will try out communication techniques or a different way of approaching something to become either softer or more empathetic or better listener with them. And then I kind of, that's the trial and error is dinner.
I mean, doing all of the smart articles over the years, I definitely have used that one time when we're together at dinner to try out some of these, techniques that we're reading about. And, a lot of times I kind of, it comes out like it's my idea that we're, dinner together. My research shows that,
I don't think it matters, right?
But yeah, I think
how you learn isn't what matters. Right. How you apply is what matters. Totally.
But I think the therapy aspect of it, at least there is that, while we're eating, there is a little bit of that, talking things out, hearing an opinion, bouncing things off each other, getting support. Getting a little recharge in the love department, a little bit, right? I mean, it's really quick. Everyone dashes off usually these days. But
it's hard to get up from a dinner table when you're halfway done with your meal. So you kind of have a captive audience during dinner time. Not that you're going to use it for lecture.
Yeah, it's true.
But you can use it in terms of like what you were saying, yeah. MK, about like empathy and finding ways of touching your child the way they, you know, their heart, how they need to be touched, talk to them the way they need to be talked to. Yeah. And then you're modeling that behavior for their siblings. And so you start learning conversation styles or communication styles. And that's how you go into the world and learn how to work with other people. Yeah. Because even though our kids are all our kids, I mean, my kids are all very different people, right? So it gives you that opportunity to kind of test your wares on communication styles based on different people you're around. I mean,
it's
right?
usually chaos outside of dinner, but at dinner,
ours is kind of chaos. Ours is getting to like that, step closer. That loud family that's fighting for the microphone to get their story out. Like everybody's got their stories cool, for well, the
there's,
day.
There's
that's
a whole awesome. Lot of, let me finish my story. Yeah, but it is what it is.
All right. Speaking of let me finish my story.
Yeah.
That's a great article. Thank you, parents. The website is parents.com. They have amazing stuff if you're not there already. And that was a great article. Okay. Now, let's move on to the quick doubleheader, no break. And this one, listeners, if you know or don't know, if you listen to the show, we text each other quite often during the days and evenings. And it's always even better when we know one of us is busy, because then the texts even get poured on harder. And then the person will try and catch up to the chain 30 down. So that's Sorry. Always fun yes. as well. My hotspot is early in the morning, because once I get the caffeine in me, I get my texting, all my initial texting up that. And running. So other than Chris's sad graph that he sent us today, telling me that I only have like sad. Six Easters left.
Puts things in perspective, you know.
It does put things in perspective.
Six Easters. What?
I got six Easters left.
Oh, jeez. Man. Exactly. All right, on to a happier subject. A debate that we had early this morning, hot off the presses. The best pizza in America. This is from Washington Post. Like, Washington, I don't consider Ooh, Washington a pizza place. But they did take Yelp. They took critics' review. Like, they kind of amalgamated a bunch of reviews, and they weren't just picking, no, you
the,
know.
The actual, like, science behind how they did it. I read that part. I was thinking, okay, yeah, fair enough.
These
fair
guys
enough.
Know what they're talking about.
You know, and honestly, and I'll let you go on, but reading all the different styles of pizza was a little bit like... Yeah. Oh.
Well, okay, so here's the question. I should have sent this to you early because it's a tough question in my world. If you're in your, if you're on your how do I say this without being
death watch?
Yeah, if you're in and they say last meal and they say, "Hey, look, like you can have one slice of pizza before you go to the heavenly gates."
Yeah,
What is that slice of pizza going to be?
If it's that, it's Zachary's Pizza for me. That big, meaty.
Can you please? Yeah. We're a national show.
So this is a Chicago style. And this is kind of sacrilege at being a West Coaster.
Where Californian. Is it?
They're all in the West Coast nowadays. I think the original is like Berkeley.
Yeah, my first Zachary's was Berkeley.
But they were the original importers of the Chicago style pizza to California, but they did it in a way where it was like less cheese and more tomatoes, and so it's like a tomato pie. And I think that is like for me like the perfect meal. But is it the best pizza? No. But if I was about to head to the old Smoky or whatever the old you know electric chair, then I would be like, get me two Zachary's. You know, spinach and mushroom.
So yours is Zachary's. Oh, yeah. Mark's is yours Porky's, whatever it's called.
Oh, man, don't talk about Porky's. I'm not a Porky's fan. That's
it's this local joint that all these people worship.
No.
Offense if you worship this place.
No.
There was an argument online about 3 years ago. I never forget an argument. And he got on his high horse about defending this. Oh, because the priest of our church was on it. And he was like, well, I don't know. I kind of like it there, Father.
I don't like Porky's. I mean, it's a place where, like, every baseball team, swim team, it's where they always have their events.
On. What's your favorite?
If I had to pick a slice, I'd probably pick a New York slice. I'd probably pick.
Well, geez, that's like 60,000 places, Mark.
One from the list.
This guy.
From the article, WAPO.
This guy's living here.
Okay, that was laughs, or I don't know what the...
I get another one.
I have three off the top of my head. So maybe I'll
pizza would not be my end of life meal.
Okay, we're going to cut him out of this conversation because he's worthless right now.
Go ahead. No. You,
right. Here's Mark's version of pizza thoughts. So there's artichoke basils. I was in, I think it was Jersey City last year, and I was dead tired.
That's the name of the place.
Artichoke Basils, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And I was dead tired. I was doing a show at the Prudential Center, and I was just wandering at like 11:30 at night, just like, where do I go? And I stumbled into this place, and I swear I had one of the best bites of pizza. It was untraditional, but it was one of the best bites of pizza ever. Lo and behold, there's like four in the New York. There's one in Greenwich Village. There's one in a couple in Jersey. There's one in Brooklyn. The only two other ones in the entire United States are in Oakland and Berkeley.
Oh, wow. What?
Yes.
Artichoke Basils, huh? Okay.
Yeah, and it's their white Alfredo pizza. Now, I'm just talking straight by. I'm talking non-traditional. I'm talking.
Okay.
We're not going to go styles.
Yeah.
Now, the other two here
white pizza
that I love. Is a I just love Detroit style.
Yeah, me too. So where's
the Square Pie Guys? In downtown, Detroit style. When I was reading this, I'm like, okay, Detroit deserves a nod because Detroit style is definitely taking over. Chicago, the argument is like, is it really pizza?
It's kind of more of a meat pie.
You ever been to Venice? You ever been to Venice? You ever been to Naples? Like,
yeah, it's not that.
When we were, you know, obviously in Italy, it's a very small, delicate pie with a few beads of incredible cheese and some very light sauce.
This is the anti that.
We're in America. Yeah, America's Chicago's like, how thick can we make it?
That's great, but I also like the Detroit. Like, if my number two, the warden's like, okay, they're closed, I would go to Golden Boy.
Golden Boy.
San Francisco, but it's a Detroit-style square pizza.
Interesting. And I did not love Golden Boy.
Really? You didn't like it? Did you try the clam one or no?
Listeners may or may not know. We did an episode eons ago. I did the pizza pandemic challenge.
Yeah.
Where we pulled up in front of seven different pizza places one night. We went into each one, got two slices, brought them out to the car, and then every kid rated them.
But that might, you know, you kind of have a palate cleanser. You're going pizza.
No, because they were all different, right? Okay, you got the little wimpy gourmet ones, and then you got like the big meaty ones, and then you got.
I like that spot.
And Za is my go-to out here. Now in New York, see, I'm a Philly guy, so we all had our favorite local spots, right? You'd all swear by your local corner guy. Pete's Pizza, growing up for me as a kid, I don't even know if the guy's alive anymore, but like that pizza was.
Is that a Philly style? Like, what do you got? Cheese whiz just, on there?
No, it was like a New York pie.
Okay.
Yeah. We all stole from New York.
Okay, so the New York pie that I had was Joe's. If I had to pick something, it'd probably be Joe's. We just were in New York this past spring with my son, and we went to Lombardi's, which is supposedly the original home of pizza. I would not pick that as my last
Italy
slice.
Is probably the home of pizza.
Okay.
But well, like if we're talking
in,
like
in the States, Mike.
Oh, okay.
In the States. And then for the Chicago one, I actually had been to, I think it's what, Grimaldi's?
Grimaldi's.
It's like the quintessential deep. I'm not a deep dish guy. I have had Detroit style, but not often enough to like, you know. I mean, when you're in California, what do you get? You get Round Table or
no, you don't. You never do that.
You do growing up here.
No, you don't. No.
What did you eat growing up?
I mean, there was
that's
always
a sacrilege.
The round table,
no. What? Like, what did you?
I usually went to like Fat Slice in Berkeley.
Okay,
you know?
See, he was
Blondie's,
on this side of the bay.
Blondie's.
In San Carlos,
love Blondie's.
In San Carlos, there was Pizza Hut, Round Table, Straw Hat,
and Mark would get pineapple every week and run out like a little
pineapple
boy smiling.
On a pizza is sacrilege, in my opinion.
Well, I agree with your New York pick, Joe's and Bleecker Street. Both John's of Bleecker and Bleecker Street Pizza were my favorites when I was there.
This article, I have to say.
But then they went to New Haven. Now,
I'm saying. So this thing, like we have such a rich diversity of
no
pizza.
Offense to New Haven.
Yeah. No offense.
But they California didn't even make a blip.
They had New York and Chicago, Detroit, and then they had Connecticut or New Haven, and then not even Cali. They grouped us in on the West Coast, Oregon,
and then they put Arizona.
This article, like Arizona pizza?
Like what?
Yeah, that, there lost wasn't a lot of love there. You know, the number one pizza in America voted like Michelin level is it's in Phoenix. Yeah, there's a whole chef's table on it on Netflix.
That's another the one great that show. I was telling you. It's too hot in Phoenix for pizza.
But no, well, New Haven, I kind of get like, so if you ever watch Barstool, Dave Portnoy does a lot of the pizza reviews, yeah. One slice, okay, Barstool, here's pizza. The score. Yeah, he does the undercarriage, he does the cheese pull, and he's in New Haven a lot. Okay. So I'm like, oh, when he's eating some of those, I'm like, oh, that looks so good. Yeah, yeah. So I don't know. I've never been up there, but I will give full credit to them. Yeah. And then they clumped us into Neapolitan. Yeah. I mean, California is known for burritos. It's known for beach food. Like, I don't think it has a pizza destination, but there are amazing
like North Beach and Little Italy in San Francisco. I feel like that's a landmark.
And Tony's.
Yeah, exactly.
Tony's Pizza.
Let's not go. We've already
discussed that on the text. All right, so Mark's going to head to Corky's. Chris is going to Roundtable, and I'm going to go to Artichoke Basil's. Coming up next, we're going to go from pumpkin to pizza and back to pumpkin. The quiz to end all quizzes. And Mark should know this inside and out.
Yeah.
If you know what he does in the side. Coming up next.
It's quiz time. Palate quiz. Quiz, 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 quiz.
All right, it's time for the parent quiz. This is a pumpkin quiz. It's legitimate because it came from a site called Pumpkin Trivia.
Huh?
Yeah, so it's all legit. Please, fans, no wagering on these questions. My wife had a get-together the other evening, and they left some supplies around. So the winner of this will receive Bath & Body Works Black Cherry Merlot Cleansing Gel and Hand Soap.
Nice.
I don't know what my wife's friends were doing. They had all these leftover products, but there it is. All right, so that's for the winner tonight. I obviously know the answers. I am the host. I'm MK. No fair. I will take us through 15 rapid-fire questions about pumpkins and pumpkin trivia. Whereabouts. Listeners, feel free to play along. Here we go. I'll give you at home and in your car or in your laundromat, wherever you are, a chance to answer also. Again, there's no prizes for the listeners, only for the contestants in front of me, because I don't know your addresses. Number one, a pumpkin is A, a vegetable, B, a protein, C, a noodle, D, a fruit.
It's a vegetable.
A gourd. I think it's a vegetable. It's a vegetable. Yes, vegetable.
Both of you wrong. Struck out immediately. The answer is A, fruit.
Oh, what?
That yeah, was D. It's a fruit.
All right, well.
Well, D, it's a fruit.
Okay, okay.
It's a fruit, guys. Just know Sorry. It's a fruit. The See, largest pumpkin ever grown.
Ooh,
I think that was probably done out here, actually.
Yeah.
Half Moon Bay. The largest pumpkin ever grown was 800 pounds, 1,200 pounds, 525 pounds, or 1,502 pounds.
1,502.
I'm going 12.
Oh, well, 12 is correct.
Yay.
You keep track for yourself. You've got one. So you are on the road closer to winning tonight's prize, which is Bath & Body Works Black Cherry Merlot. Not the wine, the hand soap. Number three, when is the best time of year to plant a pumpkin seed? A, end September, beginning October. A, B, end May, beginning June. C, end April, beginning May.
C.
End October one. What is that? Is that the one? End October A. I'm going A.
Incorrect, both of you. You're doing horrible on this quiz so far. It's pumpkin. B, end of May, beginning of June. So on your way That's out wrong. Tonight, so I saw this.
He disagrees.
I saw do. This TikTok video where this guy, I might do it as a practical joke to one of my neighbors. He took a pumpkin and he just hucked it into his neighbor's yard.
Like what?
And he like, you know, in a deep backyard. And then a year later, pumpkin vines were everywhere. And there were little pumpkins all over the place because they grow like wildfire.
Oh, really?
My wife threw them in this thing you'll see on the way out. We've got like six little pumpkins over there right now.
Whoa. Really?
Yeah, we're getting ready for tomorrow like no one's business. Nice. Okay, so Chris won. Mark, 0 out of 3 so far. Pumpkins will grow in every country except South America, Antarctica, Japan, or Alaska.
Antarctica, come on.
Alaska is not a country.
Antarctica.
Antarctica is the correct answer. Both now marks on the board. Hey. Number five, what is the percentage of water in a pumpkin? 50, 90, 75 or 2%?
I was going to say 90.
75.
Interesting. Interesting. It's very similar to a human body. 90% water. Yes. 90% water. Fail for both of you.
No, I said 90.
Oh, you did. All right. So you're up 3-1 on Mark. What state grows the most pumpkins? Alabama, California, Illinois, or Arizona?
California.
Going home
sure,
state.
California, I guess.
He says California. Sure, I guess. He doesn't even care with such a great prize tonight.
Such a
the
lead.
Answer is C, Illinois.
Okay. All right.
Illinois is the correct answer. What were pumpkins once recommended for? A, removal of freckles. B, diarrhea. C, curing snake bites. Or D, indigestion. If you get one of the two answers, I'll give you a
I like one indigestion correct. And the freckles.
I'm going indigestion.
Okay, well, Chris will score on this one because it is removal of freckles and C, curing snake bites.
Snake bites.
Yes.
All right.
Yes, this is coming straight from Pumpkin Trivia from the website Creative Baby Shower Ideas.
Okay.
All right. So nice. This is like to have fun at your baby shower. You'd have a pumpkin quiz.
This is a deep cut, though, here.
Yeah. What colors are pumpkins available in? Orange, right? White, red, green, yellow, blue, tan.
What?
All of the above.
All of the above.
Or just orange, white, and green.
We've seen all those. Are they painted? I've seen orange, white, and green. Colored. Yeah, all colors. All of the above.
H, all of the above. All right, we're moving on to number 9. Which country did the tradition of carving pumpkins come from? Italy, Yugoslavia, Ireland, England, or Germany?
Germany.
Who is carving them pumpkins early?
Everything, like, you know.
I'm going to say Ireland, even though it's not.
Nice.
You're going to say Ireland, even though it's not?
It's Ireland.
Oh, nice.
It's Ireland, Mark.
The good.
Mark's coming back. Uh-oh. The crowd goes crazy.
Uh-oh.
All right, number 10. Mark, if you don't get this one right, uh-oh, you can't wear the jacket to this house ever again.
Wow.
Where did the term pumpkin head come from in colonial times?
Ooh.
Listeners, for you may or may not know, Mark produces Halloween records from Pumpkinland Studios.
That is actually
your logo, too, right?
Yes.
Yes. So you are banned from wearing the jacket over here.
Wow.
Here it comes. Good luck, Mark.
Thank you.
Good luck. A, the pumpkin meat was placed on the forehead of a sick person to draw out the fever. Again, question is, where did the term pumpkin head come from?
I see.
B, during Halloween, they had pumpkin look-alike contests. C, pumpkin halves were used as guides for haircuts in colonial times.
At my house.
D, it meant they were empty-headed, referring to the hollow sound made when tapping a pumpkin.
I like that one.
Gentlemen?
That sounds like my dad. Something my dad would say.
I'm going to.
Head? I'm going the mean
or
one.
B.
You dummy.
Crickets are waiting. The correct answer, unfortunately, for both of you, is C. And this could have
what was it?
Explained all my haircuts as a little boy.
Oh, the haircut thing.
Pumpkin halves were used as guides for haircuts in colonial times.
All right.
I'm wearing my jacket. I don't care.
Just putting a pumpkin on there.
Mark
with all wet and sloppy.
Ben, can you believe Mark got the pumpkin head wrong?
Oh, you know.
All right, number 11. We're down the stretch now. Pay attention. Native American Indians used pumpkins for A, food, B, food medicine, or C, food medicine and mats. Which one, A, B, or C?
B.
C.
C is correct. Nice. Mark is on the board once again. Huge moment as Mark comes back. How big was the largest jack-o'-lantern carving? 1469 pounds, 1234 pounds, or 820 pounds? Largest jack-o'-lantern carving.
820.
Someone got an 800 pound plus pumpkin and carved it.
14. I'm going
imagine
14.
How many guts that would.
Yeah, that's
how many seeds that thing would produce. Mark takes the lead.
Wow.
At 1469. The backyard bleachers go
the
crazy.
The pumpkin was 1200.
This is a fraud. This is incorrect.
It's a fraud. All right. Those people at the...
I bolded the correct answers.
Okay.
The quiz doesn't lie. How did the pumpkin pie originate? A, someone accidentally poured cinnamon instead of chili powder into a pumpkin that was roasting. Sounds delicious.
Yeah.
B, as a dessert, colonists would hollow out pumpkins and fill them with milk, spices, and honey and then roast on hot ashes. Whoa. Or back in colony times, I would call it colonial times, a person entertaining filled a pie crust with roasted pumpkins when they realized they were out of apple pie filling.
Ooh, I'm going B.
Good. But B sounds good. But I'll go C just to make it decisive.
Oh, interesting. Victory. Well, the correct answer is B.
Yeah.
Good job, Mark. Mark. Bleachers go crazy once again. All right, number 14 coming in the nursery rhyme, Peter Pumpkin Eater. What couldn't Peter do?
His wife.
Peter couldn't. This is a G-rated show, Chris.
Had a wife and couldn't keep
her. Couldn't eat. No lead. B, couldn't keep his wife.
Yes.
It is B.
Oh, Chris, that was a dandy. Or C, couldn't eat anything but pumpkin.
No, it's B.
That's
hilarious.
Is correct. He couldn't keep his wife. All right, good job, Mark. Last question. Chris needs a miraculous comeback.
Triple point score.
How fast is the fastest documented pumpkin carving? 45.23 seconds, 24.03 seconds, or 8.5 seconds?
Going 8.
28.
Wow.
Well, 28 is not an answer, but that will not disqualify you for this contest.
Was it B then? What was the number?
24.03.
I'm sorry, 24. Yeah.
Obviously, the pre-show beverage has taken over Mark's
5 hours and 36 equilibrium minutes.
Yes. Yeah. So, who is the winner of that, Chris? Chris, was Mark. It you or was it Mark?
Him. He had took like a 3-point lead there.
I am proud to present to you from Bath and Body Works Brack Cherry Merlot Cleansing Hand Soap with natural and essential oils. You got the 8-ounce version, nice. And it's eight made with no sulfates, dyes, or parabens. Mm. Right. So enjoy. That market vitamin E, shea extract, aloe, and natural essential oils just for you on this pre-September evening.
I love it.
All right. Well,
wash
I've got
my hands with wine.
I've got one this or that coming up. It's not even a this or that. It's kind of just a deep question, and then we'll wrap up with things that make us smile. It's time for Deep Question, presented by MK.
Singular.
Here's the question of the evening. And if you're in your car, take plenty of time to think about this and discuss with your friends.
You might want to pull over.
And you can use it. There's no plagiaristic value to this card whatsoever. This is, again, the Deep Question of the evening, presented by MK. What is something you are certain you'll never experience, and why? What is something you're certain you'll never experience, and why?
Look at the face on it.
Giving everybody a second to think about that.
Frozen.
I think you could get philosophical on this, but I'll lead off and give you guys another millisecond to think about this.
Like dying, you won't ever know, or something like that?
Well, you could, again, this is a deep question, Chris. There could be several deep answers. I chose the obvious. I will never hang glide,
skydive,
wear a squirrel suit and fly down a canyon, or bungee jump in my lifetime. You know why? Because it scares me. So I can guarantee you that is something I will never experience in my lifetime. I could tell the story when I was in the lovely island of Maui. By the way, in all seriousness, many prayers to the people of Lahaina.
Big time.
But I was in Maui, and it was my brother's wedding. And my dad said, let me spring for this parasailing. This is when they were still doing it. Obviously, they don't do it anymore for some reason.
I remember this story.
So, me being a little calorically challenged, everybody else went up tandemly, and I had to go up alone.
Oh, man.
Now, the way it's laid out, it wasn't like you went off the main dock where the cruise ships enter.
you like went through a fence hole and went down a dock, and there were like four guys sitting there on the edge of a boat. Like, you ready? Hey, you guys ready? They sent you here, right? And we're like, yeah, yeah, we're good, we're good. And I had to go up by myself. And I was not honestly afraid of heights until that moment when I realized there was nothing but a tiny piece of metal holding me from the Pacific Ocean,
yeah,
or floating over to Lanai if stuff went south. And with the wind shears between the islands and the gut, I mean, I was just, and I swear that was it. And then my family still makes fun of me to this day.
Were you screaming?
I was up there. I was screaming. Yeah. It wasn't audible to the guys in the boat. They didn't care. They were like, you know, when people go tubing and then they try and shake the tuber, they would steer the boat erratically and just watch me go back and forth.
this guy.
So anyway, long story short of that is I will never experience that. And why? You can give deep answers or not so deep answers. It's up to you. Because coming up next, we have a very optimistic things that make us smile.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. Like, I'm just
not
lazy.
Literally, of course, because right, right. You weren't on my vacation.
No, well. But like, I think nowadays, like, I can't imagine myself like doing anything physical. I'll never dunk a basketball. I'm never gonna run a marathon. I'm never gonna, you know, I've tried to run a 5K. That was like almost killed me. I'm just not a runner. So I just realized that, you know, this is not something I enjoy. And like the laziness as I get older is slowly starting to take effect. So these things don't even appeal to me anymore. Chris. Like, I don't want to go.
You don't want to?
I don't feel like it. Squirrel suit. Come on, man. No, no thanks.
I see, like, look, I respect Red Bull athletes.
Yeah.
I respect the heck out of them. I can watch them all day.
I'll watch them all day.
But I am
day.
Never, ever, ever even attempting, not even a flugtag.
I'm not going to flip a motorcycle.
I'm not going to get in a rickety boat and shoot off a ramp anywhere. Like, no, but those guys and girls are insane. But Mark?
No, I agree with that. I'll never be swallowed by a whale. No, I'm not going Jonah. In my life, so you know, okay. But well, yeah, I mean, I agree.
That's rather obvious. Not so, many people enjoy that luxury.
Sort of zagged
no, but I mean,
one.
You know, I agree. I mean, I don't want to parachute. Yeah. I don't want to hang glide. I don't want to parasail. I don't like heights either. So that's not my jam.
All right, so Chris is no 5Ks in your future. By the way, like, there's a book that was recommended to me about a guy that got swallowed by a whale.
Fight Club. The Bible.
No, not that. One Jonah. I can't think of a name.
Yeah, I don't want to be spammed.
By the way, guess what I'm reading right now? Wait for it.
Uh-oh.
Eat, Pray, Love.
Oh,
no.
Okay.
Why not?
Yeah, nice. Yeah.
I just read American Dirt, by the way. Fantastic book. We talked about this last show, but Eat, Pray, Love. I needed to change gears and get a little lighter, so I want to Eat, Pray, Love. All right. Well, thanks for your deep thoughts on a deep subject matter. You know, I'm sad Mark will never get swallowed by a whale and I'll never see you run a 5K, but, you know, I'm okay with that. All right, coming up next, things that make us smile. All right, this is the time of the show where we end with a little gratitude in the attitude and the latitude. It's things that make us smile. I mean, our family's obviously always in some certain forms, but I feel like if my kids ever listen to all these shows in order, they'll kind of have a fun timeline because the stuff they do really does thrill me to death, from making a dessert or a breakfast or, a, you know, a craft. It could be anything. Like, it's just great. And after the sad graph that you sent us this morning, I feel need to celebrate all the happy victories.
It's the happy slant to it.
It did have a happy slant. It was about appreciating every day.
Appreciating every day.
Every day.
Yes, exactly.
If you wake up and you take a breath, it's a good day.
Yeah.
All right. So my oldest, our resident rock star, is in the musical Godspell. So
oh,
that's
cool.
Her newest one.
Sweet.
And I don't know if the kids are fans of it, but I was fans of it as a kid. And it's going to be exciting for me. And I like that the productions are now high school level because they're kind of fun to go to. And it's like a night out and it's a real theater. And all the prior ones were all fantastic. But I really feel like you're going and there's a crowd and they get a big excitement. So that's happening. And then bless her heart, as you know, because we shared
texts a lot. She just made the varsity cut for her golf team.
Oh, cool.
And she's been working very hard over time to get to that. So I'm very proud of her. The little one is about to embark on her fourth grade journey. So the stories are amazing. And the daily activities of fourth graders and the little subplots and mini dramas are hilarious. So that keeps us all going. And then, of course, my middle is a mini me and just keeps me laughing even through dinner when he's – but he's officially a teen now. Like, we're having bicep competitions. Like, you know, we're sharing hair gels. Like, sweet. Yeah, all the – his voice has deepened a little bit.
Uh-oh.
I actually – this was so fun. I took him – like man clothes shopping.
Oh, okay.
Like we went, I said, this is the high end one. This is the meat. Yeah. We went, and then his one like big treat at the back to school. And I'm like, okay, we can go to the Nike store. You can get one cool thing.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. He likes a lot of like loose dress shirts, short sleeve, like the California look with the T.
Yeah.
Khaki shorts. And
what I'm wearing right now.
Yeah. And everybody loves the Jordans and blah, 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 blah. So that was super fun. And then finally, pumpkin spice lattes, the 49ers and Tennessee football. Amen. All coming down the pipeline. Literally my pipeline tomorrow. Chris?
Yeah.
Thanks for indulging me. That was a lot.
No, that was good. On the bridge of that, like a fantasy football draft happened, so I'm super excited about
FFD.
Starting that up again. But yeah, on the family tip, like my oldest is like transitioning from like studious, responsible kid. And I was wondering when this would happen. Senior year of high school, nothing. Still doing the zero period. And then now she's like hanging out, staying out late. And to me, honestly, I'm kind of like, oh, thank God she's doing, like, I'm so happy for her that she's letting a load off before she goes off to college and all of that. So, yeah, I'm really, like, kind of living vicariously through her and happy that she's kind of stretching out and taking a break from all of the work that she's put in. And then my younger one just started high school, you know, high school golf is kicked off and she just got into leadership, so she's doing all these design projects, even though I'm trying to steer away from like design industry. But like, yeah, she's really got a knack and she's like always like drawing up like the logos for the t-shirts and flyers and stuff. So
RISD.
Yeah, she's
Fashion Institute of Technology, New York.
She's rocking. So yeah, that makes me smile. And then, you know, I'm glad to see you guys. I miss Ben, but you know, we're all three here in the 8 o'clock wearing shorts and t-shirts and stuff. So it's like, it's nice. A blessing. So, you know,
Ben will never listen this far. So yeah, we don't have to worry about like talking smack about him at this stage of the show. He'll hear us make fun of him in the open and then he'll be like, okay, I got to move on and
go. Can't listen to anymore.
Mark.
That's awesome. My 17-year-old son's on a senior retreat right now. That's pretty cool. We're looking forward to his coming back and hearing what he has to say. He actually cooked dinner for the family on Sunday night because my wife and I were home. So
nice.
For my mother-in-law and other kids. And my wife
nice
and I
went. Nice job, see?
I know, right? My wife and I went wine tasting. That was really cool. Her uncle works at a nice winery up in Sonoma, and we got to have like the royal treatment there, and that was like a fun thing to do. My 13-year-old daughter's got straight A's, and her grades are killing it. And, And the little guy is loving his teacher.
What do you mean she got straight A's? School started like a week ago.
Not for her. She's been in class for a while. She started early. She started like 3 or 4 weeks ago. Still, straight A's. Hey, I'll take it.
No it's sound effect. Oh, here it goes. Yeah.
And the cool thing is that the little guy has the same teacher that his previous two siblings had in third grade. And so it's fun for him to have the same teacher as them. And she's great. And it's just, you know,
legacy.
It's the nice bonding that the kids have having had the same teacher at the same school. I don't know. There's something fun about that.
All right.
And September 1st is tomorrow. I'm one step closer to decorating for Halloween.
Jeez. But you're not there yet. Tomorrow's pumpkin spice day.
Tomorrow's pumpkin spice. 15th, I'll be decorating.
All right, we're the Dad Timeout Show. We thank you for listening.
Thank you.
Appreciate you.
We appreciate you.
Appreciate you.
Next show, we'll have the big lanky guy from Sri Lanka.
Yeah.
Benjamin.
Denmark.
Goodbye, everybody.
Thanks for listening to the Dad Timeout Show. We're out of here. We've been listening to you talk for an hour.
My turn! Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to our Time Out Show.